This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
It is funny, man. We have a great relationship with our sponsors, just talking about overdoing it today or overdoing it over the weekend. And today, having enough of that Georgia Hemp Company 1,500 milligram palm, the relief pain stuff on me. And then Joe was listening from Georgia Hemp Company, hit us up on social media. So, yeah, man, it works for me.
He was watching.
Listening. Well, not judging. Not Joe judging. Salami. But anyway, it's funny because I knew Joe back. Remember, Oren worked with us back at the old station back in the day. But yeah, we really do use our sponsors' products, some more than others. Yeah. Hey, man, we got lots to dive into today, including some guy talk coming up. Falcons, what's going on with Kirk Cousins? Maybe our next guest can shed some light, if anybody can figure out where this is going to go. Because Albert Breer had some interesting things to say today about Kirk Cousins' want to go somewhere where there's going to be no one overlooking his shoulder, but where's that going to be in this world, you know, at post-draft? That's what none of us can understand. See if Ian Valentino from the 33rd team can make sense of it. You see anybody trading for Kirk Cousins? And we have to take a lot of money off of his contract to make it work, but Ian, you see anybody making a deal?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm looking at this Aaron Rodgers situation, and I think that's the logical outcome, right, is that Rodgers picks his spot, which it kind of seems like it's going to be Pittsburgh. And then it just leaves the Giants, right? Like, depending on what Russell Wilson decides, either Cleveland or the Giants, and I don't know, it kind of seems like he might be leaning towards Cleveland. So I'm looking at one of those two teams as the most obvious choices. And then I'm going to say, well, if Cousins wants to wait till after the draft, there's almost that incentive to just say, can we wait until training camp? Can we wait until preseason's over? And then is there an injury that maybe opens the door somewhere that we're not expecting? And I think from the team standpoint, and even Kirk Cousins' standpoint, I think they should both want to kind of see this play out. If they're both dedicated to moving on at some point, but they don't feel like it has to be May 1st that it gets done, then I think you can probably stretch this out a little bit, unless if the Giants or the Browns or they want to come to you and say, hey, you know what? I don't want to mess with this any further. I'll give you that third round pick in 2026 and we'll just make it happen. But outside of that, I almost think they can kind of slow roll this a little bit and try to build up his value through desperation.
Yeah, I would even argue, Ian, as long as he's a good soldier and plays ball, if it's week six, week seven, as long as it's before the trade deadline, if there's a team that's, 7-1 and loses their quarterback, he's instantly the best option available on the market, right?
Yeah, absolutely, because look at like a team like Miami, like with Tua Tagovailoa, all of his injury issues, that's a coaching staff that has to win next year, and you start to get into that trade deadline section, and it's like, well, more and more teams are going to be feeling that kind of pressure to keep winning or to start winning. Maybe even like Indianapolis. I know they brought in Daniel Jones, but like, come on, if they start going sideways, yeah. I think you'd feel a little bit better with Kirk Cousins there. So I think, you're right. If you can continue to drag this out a little bit more, the absolute worst case is you've got probably the best backup in the league. So, and they've already eaten the cost. So it is what it is. I think at this point, considering those things, they're pretty much operating from a place of strength. Make these teams get a little antsy and put the fire under them a little bit.
Yeah, the quarterback situation around the league, I mean, Russell Wilson, we know that I guess he's the next one. So the Giants, I guess the question would be, because that was one of our destinations as Ian Valentino joins us, they've got their guy. Are they going to draft Shedeur Sanders? I mean, Jameis is the backup. There'd be no market for Kirk Cousins with NYG, right?
I still want to leave that door open. It depends, though, right? Like, if Cleveland passes on Shedeur, then I think Shedeur is going to the Giants, right? So then that does close the door. But I think Shedeur goes to Cleveland, and then that probably closes that door for Cousins, or at least, unless if the price is dirt cheap. And I don't see that happening. I think Cleveland would absolutely love to get, have their cake and eat it, too. But I don't think they're going to pay the price for what that would take. I think they're happy if they can just get one more vet. I've seen Carson Wentz's name thrown out there. I think that's on purpose, right? I don't think they want to make the deal for a third-round pick. So the Giants are interesting. I know they got Jameis, but if the price is right for them too. I mean, they're probably the most desperate coaching staff in the league. Like, I don't think they have the room for error. So I think if they could, you know, they know Jameis Winston can be a good soldier. He was a good soldier last year in Cleveland as a backup, was a good soldier in Tampa Bay too, you know, being a backup in New Orleans as well. So I think he's okay because he didn't get paid like a starter. So I think that's going to be a little bit of a factor there. It just has to be the right price. And obviously they said what they needed to by signing Winston, and not just moving that third round pick. But at the same time, to me, that wasn't enough of a big enough contract to say that they're completely out of this.
All right, so you mentioned Aaron Rodgers probably going to Pittsburgh. What's the ceiling there if he does go? I would argue at best, second-best team in the division. And then are they a legit threat to make a deep playoff run?
Yeah, I think that's fair. If they get the T.J. Watt that we know T.J. Watt can be, then I think they are a threat. They are a contender. Like, I don't want to overstate what Aaron Rodgers is at this point in his career, but he was still better than Russell Wilson was last year. So, and he did it on a team that's probably worse. So I think if you put him in that ecosystem, everyone plays a little bit better in Pittsburgh. It's not going to automatically make them, you know, a Super Bowl contender. I think it puts their ceiling a little bit closer to that, though. And it's a team that you don't want to play anyways, because they'll grind out wins with, you know, some of the worst quarterback play in the league over the last couple of years before Wilson got there. So they're a scary team. I think that they become, you know, probably a solid tier two team where they would need a lot, right, to get past the AFC, you know, championship round. But they're at least a threat to get there, and that's better than what they were last year. So for them, why not? Like, they still need to take a quarterback to the future too, and I think they're going to be looking there at 21, depending on who's at the board. But it definitely takes the immediate need away, and it is an upgrade for them.
We were talking about it earlier. Ian Valentino joins us, guys, from a really cool website, 33rd Team, about, you know, Aaron Rodgers. And I was just playing devil's advocate, a role which I don't really embrace generally, but I was saying, was he really to blame for all of the things that happened with the Jets? The owner's nuts, probably pulled the trigger way too early on Robert Saleh. Jeff Ulbrich wasn't ready to be the owner. I mean, sorry, to be the head coach once the owner made that move. But, the, you know, the defense, you know, I mean, it was kind of just there. Statistically, didn't really do much. They do have some great weapons on offense. So how much should you really blame Aaron Rodgers for what happened last year?
Yeah, you want to be careful because, you know, is he the common denominator for these things that go sideways, or is he just kind of the victim of, like you said, this is 60-plus years of Jets, you know, just being, you know, incompetent. Right. Like I don't really know. I don't think he's the problem, but I don't think that he's a guy that's going to turn the ship around when it's already kind of sinking. I think he's kind of found this weird spot in his career where he's just such an odd guy. I don't know that he's toxic. I don't think that Russell Wilson is either. Like, some of these vets are getting this label. I don't think he's a solution, like, in the locker room anymore. He's not going to galvanize the guys, but I also don't think he's alienating them either. It seems like his former teammates, you know, kind of like him still. So I think there's enough there to say, like, he's not the sole focus of why that team went wrong. But if I was a weaker franchise than, like, the Steelers, I don't know that I'd be interested in him. Like, I don't think that the Giants should really be that interested in him, because I don't think he's the solution there.
I keep seeing him going higher and higher. Do you think Jackson Dart is a first-round pick?
I think he will be, yeah, because you're going to have those teams, like, either the Giants are going to miss on Shedeur Sanders, or you'll maybe get the Saints. The Steelers make a ton of sense, I think, at 21. I think that's the spot for him, which we did that a couple years ago, too, with Kenny Pickett, where it's like, okay, if anyone's going to take a first-round quarterback, it's going to be the Steelers and Pickett. That's exactly what happened. It didn't work out, obviously. But there's enough teams even at the top of the second round, if the Browns end up going with Carter or Hunter at number two, and then the Giants take Shedeur, well, then the Browns have the ammunition to just move in front of Pittsburgh to go get Jackson Dart. I think that makes a lot of sense for them to try to do that. So I have a hard time imagining a team won't, because we saw it with Bo Nix. I think Bo Nix was maybe a slightly better prospect, but not significantly so. So many quarterback needy teams. I mean, even if you got a team like the Raiders, I know they traded for Geno Smith and gave him, you're gonna give him a little bit more money there, but he's, you know, mid 30s at this point. Like, Pete Carroll, I could totally see being aggressive with that move. And if it's gonna cost you like a second round pick next year, it's not a huge cost for a guy. You've got to love him. But if it's not going to be an enormous move, I could see teams moving up for him, even if Pittsburgh does pass on him, yeah.
It's pretty funny, Ian, while we're talking to you, the NFL Network is running highlights of arguably the greatest game last year. That's the come-from-behind victory to overtime with Kirk Cousins over Tampa Bay. And it's like, man, if we – and I was down there for the Tampa game. We won on the road. It's just inexplicable how it went with him. What do you think about Michael Penix Jr.? We've had this discussion, and not trying to be Debbie Downer. I mean, everything sort of points in the right direction. He had a bad interception against the Commanders, but then he also did enough to win that game, which would have maybe extended our season. What do you think of Penix Jr.? What's a realistic expectation? Since Jaden Daniels has raised that bar so high.
Yeah, you want to be a little bit careful because Daniels did so well, and he'll probably come back to earth just a little bit. That's just totally normal to have that sophomore slump. I think because Penix didn't get a ton of time on the field, you're hoping that he comes out and plays pretty well. Like, he's got the skill set to do it, super smart guy. Everything there projects for him to be a good player, I think, pretty early in his career. And so you want to see this growth for him next year where he's going to have some of those lumps across the way, but you want him to be a better player at the end of the season than he was at the start of the season. But I think he'll come out and actually play at a decent level. I thought he looked good last year. I mean, I think expectations have to be realistic. He's not going to be Jaden Daniels. Just no one's ever really done that, or very few guys have ever done that. So can he come out and be, you know, a little bit better than Bo Nix at the start? I think so. I think that's a fair expectation. Can he be a league average quarterback by the end of his, you know, first starting season? I think absolutely. That should totally, you know, be in realistic range for him because he's got so many weapons around him. I think the defense will be a lot better next year just from having some continuity, getting another offseason, adding guys to that front. And those things kind of add up, and it creates more of an ecosystem for him where he doesn't have to take on quite as much, and it's not going to be as turbulent as, oh, shoot, you know, we just had to, bench our veteran quarterback that we paid all this money to. And yeah, I think he was ready for the moment. But I think the confidence that comes with, okay, you're the starter for an entire like off season, and you're coming into camp, it's not questioned. We're not going to worry about you at all. We're going to, you know, shuffle some things behind you, maybe with Cousins, but you have the full support of the organization. So I think that's going to be seen. Like, I think that's something, especially for him, he's got so much experience on the field. That's going to help him kind of overcome those turbulent times. Like you talked about, like the interceptions. Like, this is going to help him bounce back more than anything. He's going to fall back onto that experience and overcoming all the things that he's experienced, which is more than most quarterbacks have gone through to this point in his career. So, yeah, I think you're looking at probably an average level quarterback next year, and you're going to be pretty happy with that. And as long as it's peaking towards the end of the season, then the future is going to be bright.
All right. With all that said, Ian, the Falcons just need a top blank defense in order to win the NFC South. 15, 20?
I think 15 is pretty fair. Yeah. I think so. Like, the secondary looks better. They've got a great pick this year, you know, middle of the first round. They should be right in the realm of getting a pass rusher or even like a cornerback if they want to go that route. You know, I think this is going to be a better year for some of those veterans too that they picked up that maybe last year didn't show out as much as we had hoped. So it's the division's looking pretty down, and I think I was probably too high on a couple teams last year, and Atlanta was right in that mix.
Right.
So I think they're in a better spot this year, and I don't think that anyone else in the division's done enough for me to be too worried about them.
Teams are always rising and falling, Ian. You know, like the 49ers, what are they going to look like now with the roster moves? Detroit's got new coaches at offense and defense. You know, maybe the Bears are on the way up. Commanders, everybody's sweetheart. By the way, we were 27th worst defense the year we went to the Super Bowl. That was the year we nailed the draft, had three starters. We still gave up a lot of points, 25.4 a game. I could see that kind of being our business model for this year. I'll lead on the offense and just defense be good enough, to Chris's point.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's what Washington did last year, right? Like, they didn't have the most talent in the world, but they overcame it with timely playmaking, and they did get better when they needed to, and obviously Daniels was part of that, but, like, I don't think that's an out-of-the-realm possibility. We see it, like you said, we see it every year. There's teams that ebb and flow, and sometimes you get a little bit of a fluky bounce back, and I'm not saying it's going to be a fluky year, but, like, if you win 11 games and you come out of the division, like, that's a foundational base. Now, you still have to rebuild some things because you got some older players at certain positions, but, like, the offense is young. It's a good unit. That's what you're going to build around. I think you're right. I think you're just getting – you need the defense to be opportunistic, and that's the key to a turnaround. If you can force more turnovers, force more sacks, the two things that have kind of plagued this defense for too long, if you can create impact plays, I don't care if you give up 400 yards a game as long as you're forcing an interception or two and a fumble, and then you're totally switching how the game, you know, plays out compared to how it has over the last few years. So I think that it's getting that more of that balance, and the turnovers are a little bit luck-based. You can't really do much about that outside of just getting as good of talent as you can. But I think they enter this draft saying, we can just attack the defense. We don't have to worry too much about the offense. We're only looking for maybe one or two spots with depth. And if we can throw all of our assets to that side of the ball, we're going to hit, no doubt about it, we're going to hit on at least one or two guys.
Right. That's the hope. That's the plan. Hopefully Fontenot can make it happen, man. All right, Ian, we'll talk to you soon, maybe one more time before we get to the draft.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks so much.